what would you say to your disciple, your young son in the faith, if you were about to die? What would you say? Well, we can just bring it right down to home. What would you say to your son if you were about to die and you had that opportunity to confer something to him, some truth that would be helpful? Well, Paul had to think of that very question. What would you say to your son? And he does. He gives five little pieces of advice to him in verses 1 to 10. We'll try to cover those in our study. We won't get them all done tonight. Last time we saw his first piece of fatherly advice in a word. It is to be strong. To be strong. Look at verse 1, 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Thou therefore. So Paul's using his own testimony sort of as a basis for this admonition. If you look back in chapter 1, you'd see that Paul's been through a lot. Of course, he's on death row there, and he's been neglected. He has been forsaken by individuals, and it's not been a pleasant stay, but he could say that God was faithful. God met every need and provided for him, and especially gave him peace in his heart, and Paul's okay, even though he's in prison on death row. So in light of how God has treated me, in spite of my situation, Timothy, in spite of my situation, look how the Lord has been so good to me. And in light of that, thou therefore, my son, be strong, he says. Be strong. It's in the present tense. Keep being strengthened is the idea. It's an ongoing thing. Obviously not talking about weightlifting. He's not trying to be a bodybuilder. He wants to be strong in the inner man. And we talked about this last time. It's in the passive voice, which means somebody else is putting on this strength for Timothy, giving him this strength, and to somebody, of course, would be God. And so Timothy's job is to allow God to strengthen him, to be close to the Lord so that he can do just that, to depend upon God for his inner strength, as opposed to feeling like, you know, I'm pretty strong. I've been around the apostle for a long time. He's about ready to pass off the scene. I'm going to be pretty great. Don't get that idea. You can't do it in your strength, your own strength. You need the strength that God has to give in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So this strength has nothing to do with human strength. It has nothing to do with human wisdom. It was a grace, an unmerited favor. It was a gift from God, this strength, this inner spiritual strength. He provides new strength for every day. He did for Timothy, he did for Paul, and he will for you. If you'll do like Timothy would need to do, allow God to strengthen you, be in a position to where God can bless you, sin out of your life, ready to do the Lord's bidding, and God will bless you. He'll give you the strength. There's some summary here, or application for us, fatherly advice number one, be strong in the Lord. We too have work to do, and it requires that same strength. We've got ministries here, edification ministry, the discipleship, the Bible studies, the mailbox club, cleaning the church, bulletin boards, keeping the nursery, evangelism, all kinds of things, the tract ministry, the article in the paper. You know, we need the strength of the Lord, the inner strength, the spiritual strength to be spiritually successful. If you want to do anything for the Lord, you'll need his inner strength. We're not up to the task in our own power. We're just not able. Our source of inner strength, like it was with Timothy, is the Lord. We must allow him to strengthen us continually and learn to depend upon it. When we are doing pretty good, our tendency is to think, I have this now. I can do this. And the truth of the matter, in the spiritual realm, you can never do it. You'll always need to do it in the strength that God gives, the inner strength, the spiritual strength that God gives. It's another example of his grace to us. This strength is not available to carnal Christians, though. So you have to walk with the Lord. You have to desire what he wants for your life more than what you want for yourself. You have to have your sins confessed up. You have to have a desire to please him. Need to be in the Word a lot. Need to be praying a lot. Walking with the Lord. I can promise you, if you'll do that, you will have never been happier than to be close to the Lord. It is a joy to walk with the Lord. It is indeed. And you've felt it before and you know it. But it's hard to stay on the mountaintop, isn't it? We have a tendency to go through the valleys and up on the mountains. And I guess life will be that way somewhat. But the trip through the valley doesn't have to last as long if we want to be back up on the mountaintop and we desire to walk with the Lord and to please Him. Tonight, we're going to hear Paul's second piece of fatherly advice. I'll start with an illustration. Men, let's say you're going through a door. And as you walk to that door, you decide, I'm just going to push it open and keep walking sort of in stride. And you get to the door and you bump it and it just falls flat in the floor. And somebody comes to you and says to you, well, why did you do that? Didn't you know that that door does not have hinge pins in it? And you would say, well, no, quite frankly, I didn't know that the hinge pins were out of it. And they would say to you, well, everybody knows not to walk through that door. Why didn't you know? And you would say, well, nobody told me that this door didn't have its hinge pins in it. Ladies, let me give you an illustration. Let's say you're driving in your car. You're going down to the mall or somewhere down in Bangor. You get in the middle of an intersection and the engine just dies. You're right there. Kind of embarrassing. You call home, your husband says, well, I'm not surprised. The fuel gauge broke in the car and it hasn't been fueled for over a week. And you say, well, why did you not tell me that the gauge was broken and it needed gas? And he said, well, you should know that it needs gas. It hadn't been gassed up in a week. Well, how would I know if you didn't tell me? You have to be told certain things, right? Our children, our friends, our acquaintances get involved in all kinds of things, in the social, political, moral issues of the day, and they stumble. People stumble around us, don't they? And it's because there's some things they don't know. But you and I are so privileged and we can't expect them to know everything if they've not been told. And since you know, it would be your responsibility to tell them. All of the issues of our day can be dealt with and in terms of biblical principles and precepts, can't they? All of them. Raising children, spending money, going into business, working on your house, all of the things that we involve ourselves in, the internet things and the social media things, all of it, you can govern it by the principles and precepts of the Word of God. But people are falling in these things all of the time because they just don't know. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to handle it. But we know the answer is in the Word of God, and we know it fairly well. Who have you told? Who do you, on a regular basis, try to get across some biblical principles to? On a regular basis, trying to teach them the things that God has said. That's exactly Paul's advice. To tell them before they get to the door and the hinge pins are gone. To tell them before they get in the car and get in the middle of the intersection and run out of gas. To tell them what they need to know before they get there. That's important. And so Paul's advice is, commit what you know to faithful men. Look at verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Pretty simple, isn't it? Tell everything you know, Timothy. Find some faithful men and tell them. The things that thou hast heard of me. The word things, what kind of things? If you look back to chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. Sound words, sound doctrine. That's what we're talking about. The Word of God, sound doctrine. Paul says to Timothy, the things that you've heard from me, the sound doctrine, the sound teaching, the how-to of the Scriptures, Commit it to other people, Timothy. Tell them what they need to know. And these very things that Paul told Timothy are now treasures in the Scripture. Just everything that God thinks we need to know of what Paul said, it's recorded right here for us. So we have it in our laps. It's as if this is written for you and for me. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the privilege of prayer. We have the joy of giving. We have the value of the written word of God that we can have and hold in our laps or even in our hearts. We live in an information age, don't we? People are smart today. They really are about some things. We want to know everything and we want to know it yesterday. We have the telephone and the telegraph and the cell phones and the radio and the TV that comes to us by satellite and newspapers and magazines and internet, the information highway. How many of you ever looked up something, how to do something on the internet? Yeah, we go there to find out various things. We have mail, we have email, we have messaging now, right? We have messaging. There's all of these things, but many of these things that people demand to know are truly rather trivial. They're not really important things like the scores, the ball game, the horoscopes, the weather, the lottery numbers, the national, local, national, and international news. I've heard some of you say the same thing I've decided. I'll glance at the headlines. I don't want to watch the news anymore right now. It's discouraging. It's depressing. You might say, well, these things are important too, but compared to the things, right here in verse 2, compared to the things that Paul's talking about, these are infinitely less important. Where did Paul get these things that he's telling young Timothy? Well, he got them as a direct revelation. Jesus told him. You don't know exactly where in his preparation before his ministry and the missionary enterprise began out of Antioch. Sometime before that, the Lord spoke to him. Paul said in Galatians 1:12, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ committed truths to Paul and said, "Now get out there and tell them." And Paul says to Timothy, "Now get out there and tell them." And I say to you, now get out there and tell them. There are people out here, they've got all sorts of situations, all sorts of family situations, and they need to have an answer to their dilemma. And the answer is in the Word of God. People come to me or have in years past over marital problems. And I tell them right up front, I said, I'll guarantee you, no questions asked, I'll guarantee you, you can fix your problems. Is that an okay guarantee? Because if they do what God says, they won't have a problem. Do you believe that? Do you believe that about your neighbor? About your children? About your grandchildren, about your friends, your neighborhood, the people you work with, the people you fellowship with. It. If they only knew what God has to say, they wouldn't have these issues of life. If they were willing to obey God, that's our job. That's what we're here for, to talk to them about the things that the Lord taught when He was here on earth, the things that He conveyed to Paul and to Peter and all of them. And they went out and they spread the gospel and then they taught them everything that Jesus taught. Everything that Jesus taught. That's what the world needs. Everything that Jesus taught. So we need to get in the Word. We need to get in the Word and we need to be witnesses. The Bible says says that Paul got these things from the Lord and Timothy heard them. Aorist indicative active. Timothy had heard from Paul these things. Probably more than once, right? The things I hear once, well, I might remember. But the things I hear over and over and over, I'll probably remember. They'll become part of my mental makeup, right? That's how it is. There are things that interest me and I engage them and I think them and mull them over and they'll become part of how I think and how you think. That's what we need to do with the Word of God. Think about the principles and the precepts to meditate upon the Word. These things that Paul told Timothy were uttered among, verse 2, among many witnesses. They're not witnesses to the fact that that Timothy heard from Paul, they're witnesses to the fact that what Timothy heard from Paul was truth. Who were these witnesses? There was Silas, there was Barnabas, there was Luke, there were all the individuals that were associated with Paul and his missionary journeys and the imprisonment, the first imprisonment particularly. They were individuals, and Timothy was among them at times, and he would hear the things that Paul told them, told them and told him. And so it was among witnesses, probably at his ordination, probably at his baptism, on the journeys with Paul during the first imprisonment. All of these things, all of these witnesses would have been a collection of individuals who were with him during those times. He says, "The same commit thou to faithful men." The same truths, the same that you heard from me, the teachings, the doctrines, the good words that you heard from me, I want you to commit to others. The word commit, paratethemi, it means deposit, entrust, to put forth, to commit to one's charge, these truths. Brothers and sisters, this is really simple. Everything that you know about God, you need to be teaching to somebody else. That's what making disciples is. It's like the runner in a relay race. Do they still do that in the Olympics, a relay where they pass the baton? I don't even know. But you know what I'm talking about. There's a long race. One runner will run around the track, and as he comes close to the second runner, he takes it and he runs his lap or laps, whatever it is, and the third runner perhaps. It's a relay, and they pass the baton. When the first runner gets around, he hands the baton to the second one, and when they cross the finish line, that runner has to have the baton in his hand. And so they're passing along. And then this next individual, they run their portion of the race. And the first one he's tired and he has to stop and get some Gatorade and breathe big for a little while, right? And rest. And the next person carries on. Who's going to carry on the work for us little handful of people here at Corinth Baptist Church if we don't make disciples? If we don't win the lost and teach them the things that Jesus taught? And I'll tell you what, we're getting old and we're behind. We need to engage. We need to engage one another and encourage one another to say the things, to teach the things that Jesus taught everywhere we are. Now, you can't teach it if you don't live it. You have to do what you expect them to do. It's interesting how we don't do what we're supposed to do, and we go tell them what they ought to do, and they're confused. Well, why don't you do what you're preaching? Why don't you obey your own doctrine here and do what you say that I should do? Paul tells Timothy, I want you to commit these things to faithful men. Faithful, not in the sense that they're full of faith, but they're trustworthy. They're a reliable people. If you were looking for a faithful person to be a deacon, we would understand exactly what you mean. We want faithful to the Lord. Somebody who loves the Lord and lives for Him. A Sunday school teacher. We want to deliver a message to our supervisor at work. And I got to find somebody because I won't be here. I have to leave quickly. Who can I trust to get this message? You want somebody faithful to take care of a pet while you're gone on vacation. You want somebody you know is going to do the job. Somebody faithful. The scriptures say in Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, in money, and the things that you can do with your hands, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" Luke chapter 16, verses 10 to 12. Rather pointed. There needs to be a spiritual mindedness about this individual that we're going to commit these truths to. You say, well, I don't know anybody like that. Well, then our job before we can give them the truth is win them to the Lord and show them the truth and help them to start to grow so that they can become faithful to the Lord, and then we can teach them everything that Jesus said. There has to be a starting point. We have a couple of new converts, right? A couple of men who've been saved in the last few months, and praise the Lord for them. And we need to disciple them. We need to help them to know the basic things about our faith, about their faith. And then we need to help them to graduate from the milk to the meat of the Word. Wouldn't it be nice if we saw one of those converts able to be a trustee or a deacon or go down to the nursing home and preach to the people that are there? One of these new converts. Is that possible? Oh, most definitely. But it takes work, doesn't it? You can't leave a baby on a doorstep and expect it to live or expect it to grow. It has to have fellowship. It needs truth. It has to have the nourishment to grow. And so it is in the spirit realm. Those who are worldly wise may not be willing to submit to the things of God. I want you to consider Jesus' choice of men. I found this little, it's kind of funny to read. It's a little memorandum to Jesus, son of Joseph, woodcrafter, carpenter shop, Nazareth. It's from Jordan Management Consultants, Jerusalem. Dear sir, thank you for submitting the resume, the resumes of the 12 men you have picked for management positions in your new organization. All of them have now taken our battery of tests. We have not only run the results through our computer, but also arranged personal interviews with each of them with our psychiatrist and vocational aptitude consultant. It is our staff's opinion that most of your nominees are lacking in background, education, and vocational aptitude for the type of enterprise you are undertaking. They do not have the team concept. We would recommend that you continue your search for persons of experience in managerial ability and proven capability. Simon Peter is emotionally unstable and given to fits of temper. Andrew has absolutely no qualities of leadership. The two brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, place personal interest above company loyalty. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude that would tend to undermine morale. We feel that it is our duty to tell you that Matthew has been blacklisted by the Greater Jerusalem Better Business Bureau. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus definitely have radical leanings, and they both register a high score in the manic depressant scale. One of the candidates, however, shows great potential. He's a man of ability and resourcefulness, meets people well. He has a keen business mind and has contacts in high places. He is highly motivated, ambitious, and responsible. We recommend Judas Iscariot as your controller and right-hand man. All of the other profiles are self-explanatory. We wish every success in your new endeavor. Sincerely yours, Jordan Management Consultants. Now, it's kind of cute to read, but the point is, what we're looking for somebody to pass this truth off on, that we hope the Lord would use, it's not what the world would look for, is it? We're looking for a sponge. We're looking for somebody who doesn't know a whole lot, perhaps, because we're going to fill them up with knowledge. Do you follow what I'm saying? We're not looking for what the world... Do you know somebody that you could convey the things that God gives to you, that you could convey it to them, and they would be interested in it? They would hear it, and they would perhaps be used of the Lord, or perhaps spared some tragedy, some travesty maybe, because they now know the truth. He says, look for faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Able to teach others also. I was thinking, you know, we ought to include our children in this, shouldn't we? And our grandkids, too. In the case of our own children, we have to be responsible to raise them with a spiritual aptitude. You say, well, my kids are already raised. Well, then we still have to help them form a spiritual aptitude. We raise them to be faithful to the Lord, to see that they become faithful to the things of our Lord as you commit to them the spiritual truths that they need to deal with life. It's a process. Find some faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. For family purposes, this means that the also would be our grandkids. Our kids teach our grandkids, teach our great-grandkids, teach our great-great-grandkids, and it's perpetual. You can start the ball rolling. You can be the beginning of this perpetual movement, the sharing of truth from one generation, from one household to another. Not just our kids, but wherever we can find a listening ear, looking for somebody to faithfully to receive the Word of God. The ability and willingness to teach has always been required of the Lord. Israel, Deuteronomy 4, 9 and 10. Listen, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligent, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb. When the Lord said unto you, gather me, the children together, the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. See, it's always been God's way that people who know tell those who know not. Starting with the gospel, yes, but there's so much more involved. Deuteronomy 6:6-7, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. God's given that responsibility to pastors. I want to take it very, very seriously. I really want to hear the Lord say, well done, when I see him. I want to give the truth out. Pastors should do that. A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, valiant, or vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach. Titus 1:9 says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. 2 Timothy 2:24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. God requires it of his people, all Christians. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he said. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And in Titus 2:1-4, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity, in patience, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, the old women and the old men. Teachers. Hey, that fits us, doesn't it? We're the older generations now. And it's our responsibility. Who are you telling? Who are you giving this truth out to? Fatherly advice from Paul to Timothy. From Paul, from the Lord to us. Like Timothy, we should listen to the things that God has breathed through the apostles. God has breathed them through the apostles, and they've written them down for us. We ought to pick out some individual that we can entrust with very important assignment. I need for you to hear this and go tell the people that you fellowship with, that you work with, that you live with. We need to deposit our truth with them. And we need to have them to tell others and others and others. And we can grow exponentially that way. We can multiply ourselves. There's a great analogy in the scripture, what God told Noah and his family to do when they got off the ark. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He's telling us to do the same thing, but in the spiritual realm. We need to reproduce ourselves. Matter of fact, let's reproduce something better than ourselves. Better than ourselves. You've heard it said, I want my son to be, I want him to be able to do the things I couldn't do. I want him to be more successful than me. I want him to do the things that I always wished I could do for the Lord. We should want our spiritual sons and daughters to be all that they can be for Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't think I have any spiritual sons and daughters. Well, get some. Right? Look for somebody. You need to be talking to people about the Word of God. You can do it. They need to be people you're comfortable with. You can talk to those individuals that you're comfortable with. Talk to them about the things of the Lord. If every teacher produced more teachers, which is what this is about, right? If every teacher produced more teachers, the church would have more teachers than it needs. But we're not talking about the gift of teaching. We're not talking about the office of teacher or preacher. We're talking about what we all ought to be doing. Me included, certainly, but certainly you should be doing it. Advice number one, by God's grace, be continually strengthened. You won't be able to do anything without the strength that God provides. Advice number two, commit what you know to faithful men who will tell others. Reproduce yourself spiritually in someone else. Advice number three is endure suffering like a good soldier of the cross. And we'll look at that, Lord willing, next week. I hope this will be an encouraging blessing to you, and I hope that you'll take it to heart and be doers of the word, not hearers only. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day, for the opportunity, Lord, that you've given us. You give us, Lord, to receive truth. And Lord, help us to love it more. Help us to be able to retain it better. And Lord, give us opportunities to share that which we know. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters, and I pray for myself. Help me not to pass up the opportunities of these years, Lord, or perhaps months, or perhaps weeks, or days, until we stand in your presence. Father, may you be glorified by our response. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.